I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. And the de Blasio administration began its tenure last month without one resolved labor contract for municipal unions. That includes teachers, who haven't had a new contract since 2009. And while teachers and students are off this week, my next guest is the president of the United Federation of Teachers. We want to hear from him while you're at home, teachers, if you have questions. Michael Mulgrew, welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, thank you for having me, Anna. How is everything going?
Everything is going well. We're trying to keep warm here. But teachers out there, while you're home, call us with your questions for UFT President Michael Mulgrew, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Parents of public school children, if you've got questions about contract negotiations, Common Core, anything else for UFT President Michael Mulgrew, 212-433-9692. Just to start, President Mulgrew, let's start by talking about the changes at City Hall in 2014. Mm-hmm. How would you characterize your relationship with the new leadership at the Department of Education and at City Hall?
Well, it's a much more open relationship. First, at the Department of Education, the fact that now when I have conversations with that agency, I'm actually having it with educators, where before I would only be having it with lawyers. Or the statistical analysis people. So it's much easier to discuss what's going on inside of a school or across the schools because I'm actually dealing with people who are trained educators. So that's a very welcome difference for myself and for the entire UFT. In terms of City Hall, we have a mayor who's here to work with us, who has an open dialogue, who has, you know, it's not when our conversations take place, it's about, you know, what's the best thing for us to actually do and how do we achieve it instead of, I want to do this, so what are you going to do to allow me to do what I want? So it's a major shift, and it's a completely different paradigm.
You and Chancellor Carmen Farina disagreed last week about keeping schools
yep.
open during the snowstorm, but otherwise, would you characterize her as a friend to the UFT?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's been a long time. You know, this is someone who's taught inside of a classroom in Brooklyn for 22 years. You know, I taught in Brooklyn for 12 years. So when we're having our conversations in terms of the educational issues, we come at it from the same place as being inside of a classroom because we know that's what education needs to constantly focus on, what is going on inside of that classroom. So she's absolutely a friend of ours.
So I want to ask you about contract negotiations. The de Blasio administration just settled its first contract, giving 200 environmental officers a new contract. It includes an average of about $50,000 in back pay per officer. It covers 200 officers. They've been working without a contract for 9 years. Do you see that back pay as part of that deal a good sign? Is that a good sign for the UFT?
Look, you know, myself and the mayor, Mayor de Blasio, have been very clear that we don't want to do negotiations in the media. Clearly, my major issue is that I don't believe our school system is going to get better if we continue to lose half the teachers that walk into the New York City schools. So treating them respectfully and giving them something, a fair contract is something we think is a very important thing that has to happen. So we believe that we should have a raise and that we've been working a long time without a raise. But the discussion that you hear in public is, what do the teachers deserve? I look at it as more of the different agencies. Could you imagine if half of the police officers who came into the NYPD left because of the working conditions and the lack of support in their jobs, or half of the fire officers left, or half of the sanitation people left? Part of the public discourse needs to be, why do we lose so many of our teachers in New York City? What is going on inside of our school system where we cannot keep people who have spent 6 years in college training to be a teacher, and they're just walking away from our school system?
So I understand.
So that's what has to be addressed in this contract. It's working conditions and fair pay, and we need to be able to attract people, but not just attract them, but to hold them and retain them.
So I've heard before that you don't want to negotiate the contract in public. I've heard that line before.
I'm sure you have.
can you characterize for me? I understand the retention issue that teachers need to see from the city that they are valued. How would you characterize retro pay? You've been without a contract since 2009. How key and central is that to the idea that the city is behind its teachers? How
would
you
characterize
that?
It is a very large issue for us. So now I've gone further publicly with you than I have with anyone else.
That it's a big issue.
It is a big issue.
And of course, Bill de Blasio has talked about that retroactive pay, estimated to be $7 to $8 billion. He said if they want to talk about retroactive pay, that's their right, but they have to show us the cost savings to go with it. Can you talk about that at all, potential cost savings?
Now we'd be really negotiating in public at that point. Look, I'm very proud to head the United Federation of Teachers, and the United Federation of Teachers has a very long history of always being there for this city. When the city almost went bankrupt, it was the UFT who stepped forward and used their pension funds to float municipal bonds that stopped the city from going bankrupt. After 9/11, we did a lot of things that saved the city a lot of money because we knew we were in an economic crisis at that moment. So we have a long history of working with city administrations when they want to work with us. So we're hoping and we believe that this administration does want to work with us, and we think we can figure this out at a negotiating table.
I mentioned Michael Mulgrew's name, and the phones just light up. We've got a board full. Nate in Manhattan, what did you want to say to the president of UFT, Michael Mulgrew?
Hi, Mr. Mulgrew. I'm a teacher, and like many teachers, I have a lot of interest in the new contract. I hope that you're flexible on improving work rules and maybe using back pay as a bargaining chip. You seem to, from what you said earlier, recognize that people need improved working conditions in order to stay and feel respected. And frankly, it's not about money. It's about having the time to be able to do our job effectively. So if you
could I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is when I talk to people about the fact that teachers now are inundated with crazy amounts of paperwork that have very little to do with actual instruction and the work that a teacher should be doing. Could you explain what that means when I say that, since you are a teacher in New York City?
And Nate, a follow-up for you. When you say work rules, what specifically are you looking for?
Well, I'm glad he got it. He mentioned it right on the head. We have to do inquiry teams. We have to make spreadsheets. We have to make binders. I mean, crazy, crazy stuff that has come out as a result of having people in charge of the schools who don't know what it means to be a teacher. And every new initiative that they come with doesn't take the fact that I have to grade my students' paper and write effective lesson plans off the plate. So I'm up until 2 in the morning almost every night, every week, grading lesson plans and doing the stuff that helps the students learn. But when I'm at school during my prep period, I'm required to do this jumping through hoops of making these bizarre spreadsheets that get sent to Central and never get used for anything. They're obsessed with data. They want me to parse data every which way, which never gets used for helping the students learn. I mean, it is comical, and it's not something that gets easily portrayed in the newspapers. It's not a soundbite, but it's something that's really dragging our effectiveness down.
And, Nate, you say to you that's more important than pay.
I need to pay my rent, so I need a raise. I mean, my rent has gone up since we haven't had a contract. Now, back pay, I think I could use that as a bargaining chip for getting rid of the circular six and the data inquiry teams. And also, there are other issues that we should address as well, particularly grievances. Grievances on behalf of the teachers have protected class sizes for the last 20 years. However, in the recent mandate from the governor, they've limited the number of grievances to 13%. Grievances should stand on their own merit. There should be no limit. If something is done inappropriately, teachers should have the right to grieve that.
Nate, thanks for your call so much.
The 13% thing is important, and I would like to hear Mulgrew address that.
Thank you, Nate. Actually, that 13% is only for teacher evaluations. Every teacher still has a right to file their own individual grievance. There is no cap on that. So that's just a bit of information that was that you've been given wrongly. So I just want to clear that up. Teachers can file any of the grievances they wish to at the school level. That 13% is just for specific grievances for what we feel are harassment issues for teacher evaluation.
Anything else you want to respond to about what Nate had to say?
No, it's exactly, hearing it from someone inside of a school versus me is, I think, is much more valid. That, and it's the paperwork that has been generated by this Department of Education was because they became obsessed with accountability systems, and they built layers and layers and layers of different reports that were needed because they hired hundreds of accountability experts. And all I can tell is that an accountability expert just figures out other ways for people to do paperwork. And this has nothing to do, if it was valid, if it was helping a teacher in their instructional practice, that would be a different story. But as you clearly just heard, this is paperwork and reports that are sent in and they're never used and never given back in terms of any constructive process towards instruction. So that is a huge problem we've had, but that is something the last administration thought, you know, they went crazy with this corporate business model that they wanted to imprint on the school system, and it just does not work. Children are not products, and they are, you know, the bottom line is not money in education. The bottom line is children's education.
And it's a new administration, so we've got some questions about some other policies. Roberta in the Bronx has a question for you, Michael Mulgrew, about the absent teacher reserve. In some cases, if listeners don't know what this is, it's a group of hundreds of teachers who don't have full-time assignments but are still employed. Roberta, what's your question for Michael Mulgrew about the absent teacher reserve?
Good morning, Mr. Mulgrew.
Good morning.
Simple question. There are too many people, not myself included, but many of my friends who are ATRs, who have been ATRs for 5 years. They are qualified teachers. They have master's degrees. They've received satisfactory evaluations throughout their career. Now they are working week by week by week in different schools, which is not what the union originally promised would happen. They are receiving U ratings from principals who do not know these people, being thrown into classrooms and told, without any supplies, your teacher, go teach. Mr. Mulgrew, what's going to happen to these people if and when there's a new contract?
Roberta, thanks for your question. And let me clarify some of the ATR, again, that's absent teacher reserve. These are some teachers who have lost their jobs when their schools were closed. Some have disciplinary problems. Some received unsatisfactory ratings. The city pays their salaries while they work as substitutes. So, Michael Mulgrew, what can you tell us about what's going to happen with the absent teacher reserve?
Well, first, these right now, the Department of Education has the ability right now to place every one of those teachers inside of a school building. That is their policy, and it has nothing to do with our contract. And almost the large majority of the members inside of the absent teacher reserves were placed there because of closing schools and because of budgetary issues. The Department of Ed changed its school funding policy approximately 8 years ago, where it then started charging a school dollar for dollar what a teacher actually costs. I believe we're the only school system in the country that does that. So when you've been teaching for 20 years and your school is closed, for you to get hired means that the current a new school would have to pay your full salary. These are all Department of Education policies that they have control over. These are good teachers who are working full-time. They are hired by the Department of Education. They are not hired by an individual school. The Bloomberg administration tried to create this myth that these people couldn't get a job. No, they are required, and they were responsible to get hired by the Department of Education. And it is a complete waste of such great talent that these people are not being used in schools right now. I'm hoping that the new administration understands this and starts to move in a better direction. But the policies to put these, to place people, to assign them into schools is something they could use right now. We have schools that are completely out of compliance on special education issues. They don't have the special education teachers. We have special education teachers in the absent teacher reserve pool who should be put inside of a school. The school should not be treated as a retail store and pay back to the Department of Ed. It's the Department of Education who pays the teacher. This idea that they set up this system where every school has to pay for every little service that it is given by the Department of Ed is just perverse. And I'm hoping that this gets completely changed.
Let's talk about Common Core before you go. Common Core implementation has been poor. The governor has,
that's a nice way to say it,
has called together a group to study it. We heard from Liz Benjamin earlier in the show that lawmakers in Albany, despite the governor's study team, they're wanting to push ahead with looking at possible delays of tacking teacher evaluations to Common Core results. Are you hearing it's getting better at all in terms of the Common Core implementation, in terms of teacher training and materials?
In New York City, it's really not. I've heard of some school districts in and around the state, but very few who are moving forward. The issue became, look, teachers understand there has to be a set of standards. You want to adopt Common Core, you want to adopt another, you know, the Great American Standard for Education. there first has to be a set of standards that people agree these are the things children need to learn at each level of school. Once you have those standards, it is then incumbent on a school administration to create a curriculum. The curriculum is then handed to the teacher. The teacher uses that curriculum to base their lesson plans off of. Then you would design a test. So what happened in New York State was we adopted the standards, they designed the test, and they did none of the stuff in between. So the tests were implemented. There is no curriculum that teachers taught from. Therefore, 70% of the children then were not failed their test because they forgot all the stuff in the middle, which is where the school and the classroom and the students come in. They didn't take those steps. And it's been a major fiasco. And I'm hoping now that because of all of this pressure that you have parents and teachers standing together across the state saying, we want this fixed. And that means that we're going to have a real curriculum put in place. I have my own personal issues with some of the Common Core standards. Those can be looked at. But I know as a teacher, first and foremost, it's these are the standards. Where's my curriculum? You didn't give me the curriculum to base my lesson plans off of. So therefore, I'm scurrying all around trying to create a curriculum, even though I'm not a curriculum developer. And that's where this has all gone wrong.
I've been speaking with Michael Mulgrew, the president of the UFT, looking for a new contract and looking for a Common Core curriculum. I'm sure we'll have you back very soon. Lots to follow here. Thanks for joining us on WMIC.
Okay, have a great day, and do stay warm.
Thank you.